Wham Theater's first main stage production of 2026 is Rooted by Deborah Zoe Laufer. In the play, Emery lives a pleasant life in her treehouse, tending to her plants while sharing her botany research online. Her sister Hazel feels less enchanted. She is stuck working long hours at the one diner in their small town to provide for the both of them. When one of Emery's plant videos goes viral on YouTube and results in a full-blown cult arriving at the base of Emery's tree, the sisters are forced to navigate who they are and what they want. Wham Theater presents Rooted at the Elaine P. Bernstein Theater at Shakespeare & Company in Lenox, Massachusetts, May 1st through May 16th. For ticket and showtime information, visit whamtheater.com. Joining us this morning on the roundtable to tell us more is Janae Carano, who is the artistic director of Wham, and Maggie Mancinelli Cahill, who was former producing artistic director for Capitol Repertory Theater and is now director of the play Rooted. Hi, Janae and Maggie. How are you both?
Hi.
So good. Thank you.
So to start off, why don't we just talk about Rooted a little bit for our listeners who may not know what it's about. So if you could give us a plot summary, maybe a short synopsis, of course, without too many spoilers.
Well, Rooted is a wonderful play about three women who live in a small town in upstate New York called Millerville. And their lives have really focused on this small town, except one of the women for 12 years has lived in a treehouse. And she has fallen in love with communication on the internet. She becomes kind of a sensation. A lot of people start visiting her who she doesn't really want to visit her. And as a result of that, let me just say, chaos ensues. And also, it's a charming play really about identity. Who are you? Who can you become? And that life is always a surprise about that. I love the play because it has a happy ending. Everybody sort of gets what they want through going through this chaotic experience. So that's what the play is really about.
I'm glad there's a happy ending. I always like when that happens, right?
Personally, I look for that in a play. People who know me from Capitol Rep know that I like plays that celebrate our differences and yet encourage us to look at life through similarities of human experience. And right now in the world, hello, I think that's really important.
I agree wholeheartedly. So, Janae, why put Rooted on the stage now? Is there a particular reason why you thought that this would be a good play to show audiences in our area?
Yeah, I think I was really enchanted by it when I first read it. Deborah Zoe Laufer renders the really beautiful, peculiar women, and they're women that are in a second phase of their life, and the visibility of their dreams and their desires in this play feels really important. It's an important conversation for Wham. We have a lot of intergenerational conversations on our stages and in our community. And so Emery and Hazel, both, we meet them at this kind of turning point in their identity, as Maggie said, and we get to find out where they're headed next. And they may have been dreams that they've not expressed to one another or to the people around them, but they've been holding them in their hearts. And I feel like so many people, especially maybe people that are living outside of cities, like, we don't get a chance to meet their dreams where they are. And I feel like it's a really vital conversation.
Yeah. And I mean, is there a particular standout point for this play? Because, I mean, as an artistic director, I'm assuming you look at a lot. But I wonder, what about this one that makes it maybe special?
I mean, the set design challenge of it, like it taking place in a treehouse, the conversation between Luann, who's the character that enters Emery and Hazel's lives unexpectedly, and the way that she talks about issues around environment. You know, Emery is talking about it more from a pro-plant perspective and the environmental perspective. And Luann, as a younger person who's growing up in a deindustrialized space, is talking about it in thinking about the way that jobs are impacted and how her family's impacted by not having certain resources. It connected with me personally because I grew up in upstate New York and I felt like I really knew who Luann was and I knew who Emery and Hazel were. And so I think the story between the women and how they're navigating one another, in addition to just the design in the world and the felt important. I think also I was interested in like thinking about what happens around power and identity. There's a bit of an eco cult that's formed underneath the treehouse, and everyone is looking for some sense of belief and direction for their lives. How far are we willing to go to follow someone who we think is a great leader of something? So that resonates with me in a political and an activist way right now, as we're all grappling with like, what does leadership mean in our homes? What does leadership mean in our smaller communities? And what is it nationally?
Maggie, what is it like working at WAM now, and this being your debut director role, being the director for Rooted? What's it been like?
I'm very excited, and Janae knows this, is that when I left Capital Rep, I left officially at the end of December after 30 years. That's a long time. And I've directed at other theaters during that time, but not, you know, sort of on my own. And I had imagined in, quote, retirement. I don't know what that means, by the way. And I hear a lot of people on the roundtable say they don't know what that means either. But I thought that I would have a period of time, you know, when I would be contemplating it. Janae came to me last fall and asked me if I might be interested. And I said, maybe, I don't know. But then I read the play, and the characters in the play are sisters, and it just had the ring of truth for me in relationships that I've had with sisters and sister-like sisters or friends, you know, and it spoke to me, and I said, oh, darn, I would use a stronger word than that, but we're on WAMC, so I want to be very, you know, politic about this. Darn, I was going to have a longer break, but I love the play and I love directing. Capital Rep had a very good relationship with WAM. We did a co-production of What the Constitution Means to Me. And I know Janae from her former life as a theater person, doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I always admired her. I love people who can do a variety of different things. You know, they don't just do one thing. And Janae is that kind of person who, if something needs to be done in the theater, she does it. So I always had a very strong and high opinion of her. And I was really so happy when she called me. It was a delight to say yes.
We've talked about the sisters and their relationship a little bit, but I would love to dive into that a little bit more for you, Maggie, about being the director and bringing the sister relationship to life, and as well as another character that kind of gets added into the mix, right? But what is it like bringing that to life? Has it been fun? Has it been challenging in any way?
There's nothing challenging about directing a play in a tiny treehouse. It's very easy. And I'm sure people will come and say, oh, that was so easy. What were you doing all that time, Maggie? There's two sisters in it, and the third character, who is much younger than the sisters, comes in, and she's from the outside. And, of course, she stirs the pot, as a third person in any family situation will do. So you have these two sisters who have lived for a very long time being codependent on each other. And then there's a third person who comes in and has something to offer. I don't want to spoil, you know, too much by saying how she does that. She's a delightful character who is searching for her own meaning in life. This is a play that has the characters are looking for what's it all about. And can I get a little bit of that? Can I taste a little bit of meaning? And I just hear that from so many people right now, saying that, you know, we have to keep our eye on a bigger picture. We have to get out of, you know, just staring at ourselves in the mirror and get out and see what's in the world and get involved. And so this is a play that puts some of the characters, if you've lived in a treehouse for 12 years, how excited do you think you are about stepping outside of it? So, you know, and how you step outside in life, who you let into your world, that really, I love that. And I love that about the sister relationship, but I know the sister relationship. I mean, you know, when you can finish the sentence for the other person a lot, you know that you're in a strong relationship. So
Yeah, I love that. Like from the very beginning, Emery is talking to her plants and there's a knock at the hatch and she's asking the plants to open up and become vulnerable and warm up to her. And yet she doesn't really want the world to come in. But Maggie said it beautifully one rehearsal, like you could try to run away from the world, but the world has a funny way of finding you wherever you are. And I think our path and our purpose finds us wherever we are. And there's always this moment where we have the opportunity to take a big leap. And are we going to do that? And how do we change? How do we personally change? But how do we change in relationship to everyone around us? And how does that change everyone around us? It's a big risk for a family and for a community when we open ourselves to one another and open up the opportunity to be changed. And Maggie's just done such a beautiful job. We've never been so far along in a rehearsal process as we are coming into tech this week. And there's nothing like walking into the tech room and seeing all the harmony of the designers talking to one another, Nora Marlowe Smith and David Lane talking about puppets that are in the play, and watching Simon and Maddie working on lights. Like, it's a really not only magical on stage, but I think magical behind the scenes because of Maggie's leadership in this production.
Well, the cast is fantastic. The cast is really unbelievable. I've only worked with one of the actors before, and they're three women who are very distinct personalities, and they brought a lot of life to it. You know, I wanted to mention that because we haven't, is that there's a lot of plants in this play, because of course the lead character lives in a treehouse and she's doing experiments on plants. One of the really fun things for me as a director is when you get to research a play and find out what are the roots of the play. And in this play, it's science. It's real experiments that were done with plants. And the scientist is named Monica Galliano, and she discovered through these mimosa plants that are called sensitive plants, because when you touch them, they close up. And she discovered that they could learn the difference between one threat and another and sometimes stay open, even though it's the same threat, because they recognize that they weren't afraid anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's opened a whole world to me about plants and plants intelligence. And we can't call it plant intelligence. We can't say plants have brains, but they have something and they communicate very significantly with one another. And the play deals with that in a very charming way as the woman in the treehouse is experimenting with her mimosa plants.
I do love that Deb Zoloffer like adds Monica's name into this play as a way of like holding all of these women in science who have contributed, whether it's like Rachel Carson, or we had a production of Galileo's Daughter and we learned about Maria Celeste. And I feel like this brings that kind of women in science and making sure that we're saving that history as it's being erased before our very eyes.
Of course, and I'm glad we're talking about the plants, because I wanted to dive into that a little bit and see just how intertwined the plants are in the play's narrative, the plot, maybe the journeys that the characters take, and how they're brought to life. Janae, you mentioned puppets. I don't know if there's plant puppets. I would love to know. But just how deeply intertwined are the plants in the narrative of this play? I mean, from what you two were just speaking about, it seems like it's pretty in there.
Do you want to talk about
I'm really pro plant in this production. Yay, I just felt like plant. with Emery's world being this treehouse and her living there for so long, like she does have names for her plants, as so many plant lovers have for their gardens, and her favorite tree, and her environment is a reflection, I think, of her inner state also. And so it was important to me that we were able to invest in ensuring that the set was really transformative and responsive. And so one way that we can do that is by animating these plants and doing that through puppetry. And I've had the pleasure of working with David Lane since I got to the Berkshires. And I'm always trying to find a way to bring his magic into the space.
The plants are alive, you know. There are little breaks between scenes. And in those breaks, we have the privilege as the audience of really experiencing the lead character Emery's inner life with her plants. And so Deborah, our playwright, our wonderful playwright, determines that some plants have to live and come to life for Emery. And David has done a wonderful job. He is an amazing person and artist, and it's been so fun to work with him on how we can make our plants move a little bit. And, you know, the mimosas react to sound, so that some of the sounds they don't like as the crowd gets bigger outside. And we have to show that in, you know, in some demonstrable ways. So it's been pretty fun. Oh, I'm looking forward to tech where we have the real things doing what they do. I don't want to say what they do because I want.
No, I know. I don't want to give it away.
You know, I think people will delight in this this touch of magic realism that comes in when we go inside Emery, or maybe her plants really do this when she's alone with them. One never knows. Do one.
In terms of the theme, you know, Hazel is Emery's caregiver in a way. Emery has a walker. She's people are really hard for her, she says in the script. And I think that there is a relationship between Hazel and Emery, and Emery and the caregiving and interdependence of plant life. You know, that's the world where she can really care for someone else. And so there's something to that, I think, about nurturing your garden. And as humans, we really need these plants, and we really need to be in nature, and we need to understand our relationship to it more and how it supports us.
Yeah. And you guys have been talking about the visual aspects and all these wonderful things that I bet are going to be amazing to see in person. So I'm wondering a little bit about the set. I mean, you're talking about a treehouse, all these plants moving. That sounds really cool. And then, Maggie, you were mentioning either that you're in Tech Week or about to start Tech Week. That's a lot of fun. I know Tech Week is so much fun. But what is it going to be like having those elements added, and also the beautiful set as well, what that looks like?
Well, we start tech today. We did, you know, we had a rehearsal on the set yesterday for the first time. And today we started adding lights and sound. Sound is an element unto itself in this play, because the crowd outside is literally of the fourth character in the play. And, you know, I want to say something fun about the Berkshire community, because I've been really charmed by their participation. We had to get a choir together to sing the song to the plants that is required in all of the crowd scenes. And so this choir came in, volunteered, came in to be recorded by our wonderful sound designer, Jane Shaw. And she wrote a song that goes with the play, with the words in the play. And they recorded it. And then they had to do a mean version, and they had to do a sweet version, and had to do a fast and a slow version. They were just great. And then we had to have a lot of voices, specific lines that the crowd calls out. This isn't a sound score where, you know, you go to the sound recording library and pick sounds of crowds. It has to be specific to the play. So we had our wonderful Erin Patrick, who teaches college, got her class to be our crowd and, you know, like cry out all of these lines that we need for the play. And then Jane, of course, put all the sounds together. So it was really, really wonderful to have the enthusiasm of the people in the Berkshires coming together, and they are going to hear themselves. I mean, they are going to hear themselves. They're going to sit in the audience and feel very proud that they helped make this play. It's really something.
We've had some really incredible partnerships throughout this adventure. We started our rehearsal process at the Berkshire Botanical Garden, and we had a docent who really knows the plants. She could have been a character at, I think her name was Marianne, am I right?
Yes, Marianne, yeah, she was wonderful.
She's so brilliant, and she knew the whole history of who started the garden and what these plants would become in a few weeks, because it was early spring when we started our rehearsal process. She could have been right out of the play. And then we do have, once we open the play, We have a special walk with Jenny Hansel, who's the executive director of Berkshire Natural Resources. So we'll actually be taking a walk on Olivia's Overlook and enjoying the Berkshire Spring before we see a production. We have a Mother's Day brunch that our volunteers are hosting. And so I really do feel like this play is as magical as the Berkshires, as Maggie says. We couldn't have made I feel like it's the perfect spring play for the perfect community. And a lot of people have invested in this production in special ways.
And to wrap up, what do you hope audiences leave with after seeing this show? And, you know, what can they expect?
I mean, WAM is where art and activism meets, and our storytelling fuels the change that we're hoping to see. And I hope that we understand more how important the value of being vulnerable and creating a space of belonging and harmony. Right now, we're in a really tough moment of identity and power, and I'm hopeful that audiences leave thinking about how we can make a little bit of change in our relationships with one another. I would say, where can we find a middle ground so we can really have important dialogues and shape the values and the life and the future that we want to have with one another?
Yeah, for me, I want the audience to leave feeling hopeful. Anyone can change at any age.
Mm.
It is possible to change. And hope is not something that always, I think, is a positive. Sometimes hope stops us from acting. But in this case, I think it propels one to be yourself and get around people who help you be yourself. And so I think it's a very hopeful message, and I hope people will leave with it. Because, you know, I want, for myself, I enjoy directing plays where at the end you feel good. If it's or you feel terrible or sad or, you know, but I hope you feel good, and I hope you'll go call your senator or whoever it is for you that you think could make a little difference in life.
Rooted is having performances at the Elaine P. Bernstein Theater at Shakespeare & Company in Lenox, Massachusetts, May 1st through May 16th. Go to whamtheater.com for ticket and showtime information. Janae and Maggie, thank you so much for letting us know about this wonderful play. It's truly been a pleasure. I wish you all the success.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, WHAM Theater presents Rooted at the Elaine P. Bernstein Theater at Shakespeare & Company in Lenox, Massachusetts, May 1st through May 16th. For ticket and showtime information, visit whamtheater.com. I'm Madeline Reynolds, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.